We have wonderful speaker Gavin, a clinical analyst here at MedCurity, who focuses in on the MIPS aspect of clinics when it comes to reporting. Myself, my name is Ari, and I am the partner manager here at MedCurity, and I have the wonderful privilege of working with our partners and our sales team, so getting to be hands-on with and communicating with our customers all the time, just in positions like yourselves. So we do hear a lot of industry information around MIPS, and so that's why Gavin is here today getting to speak to this topic. And so with that, I would love it if he had the opportunity to introduce himself. So Gavin, if you could explain what you do at MedCurity, and then quickly lay the foundation of what MIPS is, just so we have a roadmap of where we're going, and then we can build on updates and recommendations from there.
Hello, everybody. And Ari, thank you for that introduction. So my name is Gavin Weiler, and I'm a clinical analyst and MIPS consultant at MedCurity. So in my role, I provide security risk analysis services, and then I also provide MIPS monitoring and coaching over the course of the performance year. So that's where I've learned, you know, that's where I'm constantly tracking these updates. I'm paying attention to what's going on and released by CMS. And so just to start you guys off, for those of you who may not know, just the brief background of MIPS itself. MIPS is a merit-based incentive payment system, and it essentially, it rewards values and outcomes by incentivizing providers to provide quality care and cost-efficient care. So it just shifts that focus from just getting numbers in and out the door with Medicare, and instead making sure that every patient is cared for with quality and efficiency. And beyond that, in terms of, I'm going to walk you guys just through clinician eligibility for this as well. So to become eligible, you need to be providing for the full course of the year. So you need to be providing Medicare services starting and having registered by January 1st of the performance year. So anybody that has registered on or after that date won't be eligible. At least from an individual perspective, so reporting just for themselves, but they may still become group eligible reporting as a larger organization based on their services that are tied in with the rest of the group. So in terms of determining that eligibility, the combination of your national provider identifier and your associated taxpayer identification numbers is used. And one easy way to look it up is to go to QPP, the Quality Payment Program site, and go to the Participation Status Lookup Tool and type in that NPI number. So like I said, it's based on the 12 months, and then the low volume threshold is the other determining factor. And so if over the course of the year, you don't meet one of the three criteria listed at the bottom of this slide, then that will also become something that may not make you eligible, and essentially what that means is you're not required to report on MIPS. There's still options for some groups that are opt-in eligible, and you can still report in some cases, but you aren't required in terms of needing to avoid the penalty if you don't report. So there's a little background, and I'll pass it back over to Ari to see what we've got next.
Yeah, thanks so much, Gavin. Excuse me. That background is just really helpful to lay the groundwork so we can jump into the next items. So moving forward, could you jump into the scoring on these categories and share where the changes lie in each of the categories, just because we know that each piece is very impactful to reimbursement. So making sure we understand where each portion sits.
Definitely. Yeah. So like I said, because I provide coaching and monitoring throughout the year on MIPS, we're constantly paying attention to the changes that are released, especially with the big changes over the final rule released for 2021. And so just to walk you guys through the initial changes or the really important changes in terms of the categories. Another piece of MIPS, it's based on four main categories. It's quality, cost, improvement activities, and promoting interoperability. So those have been constant throughout. but the weighting of them for your final score has changed a little bit. So this year, quality will be decreasing by 5% of your final score, and cost will make up that additional 5%. With that said, quality is still the main category, as it's the highest and contains the most moving parts for it. But all of these are important. So going through quality, so you are required to provide 70% of data from the year. So that means whether you're reporting as a group and 70% of from all your providers, 70% of that data, or as an individual over the course of a year, you have to provide 70% of your own data to at least meet the minimum data completeness and receive a non-zero scoring score for quality. Additionally, in that category, there's been some other changes. 113 changes have been made just to the existing measures themselves. And so what that's done is a few of, often you look at historical benchmarks to judge where your percentage within a certain measure is going to score out of the normal points. And so in this case, those changes, if they're significant enough to where the measure is no longer fully comparable, either in the way it's measured or in the way it's reported to the measure back in 2019, now there will be no benchmark for that for 2021. So that's something that mostly just changes the comparisons, as well as if those were measures that you had used, important to start looking at those. Those have been released on the QPP site as well. You can find them under historical benchmarks. The other changes that have been made are 12 measures have been removed. I'll show you guys a list of those in just a second. And two new measures have been added. So just things to pay attention to if those apply to your group or your individual providers themselves. And then in terms of cost, so with that new change, so cost is claims-based. It's not something that we can real-time track throughout the year. So the main thing here is definitely pay attention as your scores from last year come out around July. You'll want to look at your cost score, see where you fell, as it is a comparison across groups as well. And so really paying attention on that one just to be able to predict, okay, this is about where we fall in the cost category. Now that it's worth more percentage points, you know, we want to just be aware of what that's going to mean for our group and our score when looking for exemptions or anything else. Beyond that, we're constantly tracking, like I said, to see if CMS releases anything, any insights on how to improve this category, whether it's through medical billing or just other ways to improve efficiency. And so we're always a resource for that kind of information too, because we try to stay on top of it at all times. In improvement activities, the score hasn't changed at all. And beyond that, neither have the scoring of it. So this year there's 105 improvement activities. You can find an Excel sheet of all those on the QPP site. Medium, so there's two ways to weight these. There's medium priority and high priority. Medium are worth 10 points and high are worth 20. So to reach that full score of 40 points for this category, you can either do 4 medium, 2 medium and 1 high, or 2 high. Any of those combinations will help you to reach the full points there. And remember, this one is just an attestation, but you will need evidence to back it up. This one and promoting interoperability, they're both reported over 90 days instead of the full course of the year. So with that, you can select between quarters and whatnot there. And then additionally, I want to point out that if you're a rural or non-patient facing or health professional shortage area, you can receive double points for a lot of these measures. So something to be aware of, because if that's the case for you and you do just one high priority measure, you may be able to receive your full points there. And the last little note, so promoting interoperability is still remaining at 25% of your score with only some small internal changes. The main focus there is still e-prescribing, patient access to health information, and making sure you get that security risk analysis done throughout the year as well. Those are the main changes there. I will now pull up that list of the quality measures that have changed. So on the left, you can see the 12 that have been removed. So like already said, this webinar is being recorded. So you can take a look back at these. These are also found on the Quality Payment Program site. And over here on the right, you can see the two new measures that have been added. They're both administrative claims. So if you think that's something that may apply to your group, be sure to start looking at those and the criteria that falls for them as well. And so those are all the main changes to scoring and the categories that we're seeing for 2021. So Ari, what do we have next?
Yeah, thanks, Gavin. Thanks for explaining the category changes. They often can seem minor if you're just looking at the small percentage increase, but truthfully, they're quite important and very impactful to a practice when we're looking at the big scale and the big picture. So it's good to communicate that, take the time to be concise in how you share that. So thank you. Could you explain the changes that are coming to the actual performance threshold, as this definitely changes the level of the penalty and where that becomes a part of the conversation? So you could just take a quick minute to do that next.
So the performance threshold for 2021 is one that will be changing as well. And so this is something that applies directly to your final score. So those four categories make up those different weights of the final score. But out of 100, that will be what your final score is. And so with the performance threshold, it provides at least the minimum score and then the exceptional performance scores. So last year, we saw a minimum MIPS score of 45 points out of 100. So that would mean if you were under 45 points, you were going to receive the penalty of 9%, which is staying constant this year. And if you were over that, you could start to receive some of that extra incentive on your adjusted Medicare reimbursement. Whereas if you were over 85, is where you would start to see maybe that full 9%. And that's all based on how many groups fall into each category. So what this shift also means is that there may be more groups that are going to be penalized this year, which means if you're falling into the group that is receiving additional reimbursement, then you may have a greater potential to receive that full 9% adjustment. So that's something that's, you know, it is twofold, because it does mean you can receive that, possibly that full adjustment, but it also means you have to be wary to score a little bit higher than you would have in the past to make sure that you don't receive that penalty as well. So this one is going to be very big for this year, especially after last year where we saw a lot of groups pulling out due to exemptions from COVID-19. And so with that, the pot was even smaller. So even for groups that did receive a positive adjustment, it may be smaller. Whereas this year, we might see it increase and grow to provide that for everybody.
Now that we understand where the changes are, I think that's helpful. I know one of Gavin's main roles here is to help develop strategy for our clients, especially when it comes to these changes and how to best leverage them. So moving on from the updates, Gavin, could you explain some simple action items or things to keep in perspective as they look to this year and next, just so that our attendees can strategically incorporate them moving into the rest of the year?
Yeah, so one thing that's coming up is the hardship exemption that was offered last year is still going to be offered this year. So it's something that they may be a little bit more strict on. So something that, you know, if you are going to be filing for this, you may have to provide greater evidence, whatnot, but something that's still offered, because groups are obviously still being impacted by COVID-19 this year. So it's something to definitely be aware of, because if your group is facing hardships or reductions in patients, or it's affecting your MIPS measures, this is definitely something that for this year, it won't be as easy to attain as last year, but it's still something that can come into play if it's heavily affecting your group or your providers. This is definitely, look into it if it's affecting you heavily. If not, then the exemptions don't matter so much. There's not going to be as much offered, like I mentioned, during the performance threshold. So that pot will be a little bit bigger. So participating in MIPS could also get you that greater reimbursement so long as you continue to do well. But I do want to just mention that with an exemption, you do have the option to shift the weighting of your categories. And so say you were to take this exemption for all of your categories, if you come back and decide, well, we still had two categories, say cost and promoting, or sorry, quality and promoting interoperability, if those two categories are still scoring well, you can report on just those two, and the weighting from improvement activities and cost will shift over. So that's one strategy as well. So here, you know, we look into what else can we be doing for 2021. So if you beyond that exemption, like I mentioned at the beginning, be sure to review your report from 2020. It was a different year. So, you know, if you did report on all categories rather than taking the exemption, it'll be really important to see how it affected, you know, your cost, your quality measures, all that. And as you review it, begin to look back at that exemption and see if it's something that you're going to want to look towards this year. As well as with those category shifts in terms of the weighting, be sure that you're paying attention to your cost score just as it increases. Still not the greatest contributor, but still something that matters. And it's always good to be aware of where you stood, because even in the monitoring through a lot of the third-party systems or EMR systems, it's still hard to get an exact score until CMS is the one that comes in and reviews all your information, reviews the data behind it, the billing opportunities, and all that. So checking back in once those reports come out, always important. Beyond that, review current performance status. And with that, you want to be tracking throughout the year, making sure that you're seeing what quality measures are matching up with the workflows that your group is doing, as well as really tracking those things like e-prescribing, referral loops, and also on top of that, that patient access to the portal is a really important one that they've really focused on a lot. Moving beyond it, they also require the security risk analysis in there. And so you'll want to make sure that you get that early on in the year. It's something that can be overlooked, but if it is, then it automatically disqualifies you for receiving a score for promoting interoperability, and so you'll receive a zero for that category. So those are all things that just pretty much stay on top of it, continue to monitor throughout the year as much as you can, and if you have questions about it, reach out to third-party groups that may be able to answer it better or coach you in the right direction, and all that.
Awesome. Thank you, Gavin. I think having a little bit more direction on things to keep top of mind around this area, just moving into the rest of the year and as we begin reporting for a new year, it's just helpful to know what those things are. I know you just ended on talking about things like completing your SRA, but in the promoting interoperability category specifically, I just know there's a lot of extra value that sits there when it comes to MIPS overlapping into HIPAA requirements. So if you don't mind just quickly talking about the strategy behind maximizing that value, that would be, I think, extra helpful.
Yeah, like I mentioned, you know, security risk analysis is just one component, but it comes into play in multiple ways. As you look at just that promoting interoperability, obviously, like I said, it qualifies you just to receive a score there. So something that's important to look at. But beyond that, too, it's something that doing a security risk analysis helps prepare you for many financial as well as just general practice improvements. And so it's something that is important to, you know, be very adamant about getting done well. And so one thing that MedCurity does is we do provide security risk analysis services, like I mentioned at the beginning. And with this, so one thing I want to point out, so here's a list of the current investigations going on from the OCR, the Office of Civil Rights. They post these breaches that are reported publicly. And so the only reason I show you this is because here's the list of data request items that they usually ask for when you do face a breach. And if you look closely on there, about the fifth one listed down, you do see security risk analysis as well as risk management plans on there. So you do, you know, this will not only prepare you for MIPS, but if any of these happen, which they do happen all the time, even when you've taken necessary precautions ahead of time, and doing this ahead of time and showing that you're trying to manage your risk ahead of time will help reduce that financial burden that they may put on you for the breach itself. So that's just one area where, you know, one of the MIPS measures ties into the rest, providing quality care, but also making sure that that care is risk-free for those patients and that their health information is strongly protected. So that's, you know, one thing to get on early this year. If it's something that you guys, you know, a lot of groups wait till the last quarter right before it's required. But the sooner you get on it, the sooner you start addressing those risk areas, as well as the sooner you can start looking at that promoting interoperability score overall, and see those changes and where you need to adjust for workflows.
Awesome. You really did hit it on the head, Gavin, with the overall value of completing your SRA. So thank you for taking that time to explain it. Ultimately, we all want to provide excellent inpatient care. So frankly, Medicare is here to further equip you in that, whether that's education or as a resource beyond it. But with all of that excellent information, Gavin, are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave our guests with?
Yeah, Ari, I'd actually like to just talk over, I know we're focusing on 2021 right now, but I do want you guys just to be aware of what's going to be coming in 2022, as well as point out one thing that you may have been expecting this year that got pushed. So future 2022 changes, what we've seen so far that CMS has released, the main one being those MIPS value pathways, also known as MVPs. So those were supposed to come out in 2021 is the main reason I wanted to mention them, just because some of you may have been expecting them. But now because of COVID-19, they're pushing them off just to give more time for people to transition, as last year was kind of a difficult year for a lot of groups. And so what those are going to be doing is they are going to work to align measures across the reporting categories for specific groups or specialties. And so there's a few examples listed on there. But what this means is it won't be, you know, all your reporting from all four categories is lined up perfectly. But what it does mean is they may take three quality measures, you know, two or three improvement activities, and a couple cost measures or promoting interoperability measures that are all lined up for, say, endocrinologists or rheumatology groups or whatever specialty you may be. And so, you know, there's been a lot of groups in the past that have struggled to find measures that are specific to what they already do. And so it's been more of a struggle to actually meet the measures that they're offered through either their EMRs or just in general through what's offered as a CMS measure. And so this is fully aimed at trying to make that easier for those groups, as well as help them be able to perform their normal workflows while still performing well in MIPS. The other change that we expect that I wanted to mention is another reweighting of the categories. So that shift from quality to cost is going to continue. The initial focus of MIPS was all on quality, and now they're trying to even it out with being cost efficient as well. So just something to be paying attention to as, you know, as you instruct on your medical billing, and be looking out for as CMS may release more insights on how to improve in that area. But those other two categories, improvement activities and promoting interoperability, they're still going to stay at their same weights, just like they did this year. So those are the future changes to be looking forward to. And that's all I have for you guys. So I'll pass it back over to Ari to close up. But thank you guys all for coming and listening today.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Gavin. Would love it if you could move to the next slide just so I can share a little bit more about MedCurity before we move to a little bit of question and answer time. Gavin is obviously a clinical analyst around MIPS here, so we do provide that consulting piece if you're looking for a third party just to review your measures or provide a strategy beyond that. But we also do have a platform, if you could move to the next slide, that streamlines this, and you can see it on a dashboard. We have percentages covering all of the safeguards, and we're happy to share more information around this. And then we also host policies and procedures, building those out on templates if that's something your organization needs a refresher on or needs to build from the ground up, as well as business associate management and HIPAA training. So we try to be a one-stop shop for you in terms of HIPAA compliance, but even beyond that, just education, hence why we're here on this webinar.